This time of day.
You're still up.
Thank you. First item of business under my name is a retirement tribute presentation to Mr. Frank Shade. I have a tribute here from Mr. Shade, who I believe is joining us, and we have a plaque here. I'll read the tribute, and we'll do our photo op. Sussex County Council tribute. Be it hereby known to all that the Sussex County Council commends Mr. Frank Shade for devotion, loyalty, and excellence in serving Sussex County from November 16, 1990 to May 11, 2015, 25 years. The Sussex County Council extends its thanks and congratulations and directs this tribute to be presented to Mr. Frank Shade with wishes of happiness and good health today and always. Signed, Michael H. Vincent, President. Congratulations, Frank.
Thank you.
Is this the last pack that Frank had paid for us for the
county? Yeah. I had nothing to do with that.
Make sure you're good, Miss Buddy.
Oh,
that's good.
Hold on something. Smile, look pretty.
Last pack.
Cecil be the guy.
Hey, Todd, you ask him if he'll tell us how many different positions he's had with the county over the years, what departments and everything. Because
only one I've seated, George.
I want people to know how versatile you are.
Frank, congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for your service.
You know, people say that, I talked to a couple people and they said, you're lucky to do this. And I told them there's only one thing you have to do. Get old. It's simple. But I made some notes here. It was almost 25 years ago we were standing right in this spot, maybe a little bit over that way, in the old Gosley Insurance Building. That's where this whole thing started. But before that, there were people like, and Michael, excuse me, Councilman.
Be nice, be nice.
I was being respectful.
Challenge, I know.
And well, we're friends outside, so it's sometimes it's tough. But there was Billy Gordy, Halsey Knapp, yourself. You were on council at the time, Councilman Cole. And they put together the paramedic program that we have today, which is one of the premier systems in the United States, if not the country. I mean, if not the world. Because we've had our teams compete overseas and win gold medals. I wish Tim, Representative Duke, was still here, because if you remember the opening day that the service went live, we were in the back lot behind the old council building, excuse me, and we had the Graysonville ambulance that we had relabeled as a paramedic unit. At the time, President Duke's put the service active, put us in service on Channel 2 because the unit wouldn't run. We pushed it into the position. The first call was run in the director's Bronco because there was an accident on the circle, and it happened to be the director, Bill Stevenson's wife, that got rear-ended here on the circle. So we started the day, it went up, and it's grown since then. Like I said, today Sussex has one of the premier systems in the world, and you guys should take a lot of credit for that. You helped start it. Mr. Vincent, you helped start it, and the rest of you can keep it flowing. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Enjoy your retirement.
Thank you.
7 weeks of retirement.
Oh, my. There you go.
And then back to work.
Thank you. Congratulations, Frank. Next item of business is the Farmland Preservation Advisory Board appointments. I am passing down a memo illustrating the appointments to be considered today. As you know, the State Department of Agriculture has asked each county to reappoint their boards, entitled the Farmland Preservation Advisory Board. This board is tasked with basically two things: reviewing any state legislation that may affect the state farmland preservation program, and then also reviewing any district expansions that may take place in the respective counties. After hearing from members as well as the agriculture community, we have come up with the following recommended appointments. The board consists of four active farmers or someone in the ag business community and one member of the county council. who serves as the chair of the board. That member would serve until replaced, and the other four members of the community would serve four-year terms. Now, listed in the memo are the recommended appointments. Mr. Sam Wilson from the County Council serving as chair, Mr. Donald Collins from Millsboro, Mr. Christopher McGee representing the Selbyville-Williamsville area, Mr. Mark Wells representing the Milford-Slaughter Neck area, and Mr. Randall R.C. Willing representing the Seaford-Laurel area. Unless you have any questions of me, I have a motion for your consideration.
Please read your motion, sir.
Be it moved, the Sussex County Council approves the appointments of members to the Farmland Preservation Advisory Board as presented for a term of 4 years effective immediately.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Yes. Second, Mr. Arlett.
Yep.
Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Well, yes, motion carried. Next, sir.
Thank you. Next up is the County Administrator's Report for May 5th, 2015. Item number one. On Thursday, May 14th, the Sussex County Emergency Operations Center will host its 16th annual 911 Awareness Day at the Public Safety Complex located at 21911 Rudder Lane next to the Sussex County Airport. The event will run from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., and all activities are free and open to the public. In addition to tours of the 911 center, there will be displays and activities featuring the Delaware State Police K-9 team, Blades Fire Company Safety House, Delaware State Fire Marshal's Office, Delaware State Fire School, Delaware Emergency Management Agency, and the Sussex County Sheriff's Office. There will also be police cars, fire trucks, ambulances, paramedic units, and the county and state mobile command units on display. The event is sponsored by Sussex County and the Delaware State Police, which jointly operate the 911 center. Item number two, per the attached Engineering Department fact sheet, Coastal Club Phase 1B received substantial completion effective April 24th, 2015. And that is all, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Godwin, if you'd join us again, please, and go over your, let's say, update and any possible action you need to take.
Mr. President, members of Council, I will review with you the actions of the state legislature the last few weeks. Some of these bills that we've reviewed will be coming off my report. The first one, House Bill 9, has been signed into law by the governor, so I won't be talking about that one any longer after today. House Bill 25 seems to still be stalled in the Senate. That's the one that addresses harvesting gray fox. House Bill 33 is a bill that has been released from committees past the House, and it's released from the Senate committee. This one is to clarify signs along the road. We talked about that, and I believe that the consensus between our staff and our legal advisor, our legal department, is that this is really just a state matter, and they're clarifying their own rules. It doesn't really have that much effect on us. Senate Bill 29 is a bill that's meant to correct an error made last year in the General Assembly where they deleted cats from the list of animals that could be hurt by dangerous dogs, and that bill has passed the Senate and has been released from the House committee, so it's moving. House Bill 68 is a bill that we talked about, I think with some support, which would allow mobile home park owners to get title for an abandoned mobile home within 30 days rather than needing to wait for a year. That bill is currently been reported out of committee in the House. House Bill 85, this is one that we've talked about over the years because this one is a tax interceptor bill. This bill would help the school districts as well as the county to collect past due property taxes. This bill has been introduced again by our representative from Seaford, Representative Short. I am pleased to report that I think that the bill in its new form, where it details all of the school districts and the monies that are owed them, makes it easier for other legislators, particularly the ones we need in the Senate, to embrace the bill because it spells out schools maybe in their neighborhood that have needs, and this bill could help with that. So I'm optimistic about House Bill 85. Senate Bill 5, we talked about that, and I've gotten some clarity on this bill. This bill allows homeowner associations to adopt, if they would like to adopt in their bylaws, they can adopt portions of the Delaware Uniform Common Interest Ownership Act. I wasn't clear on this when I first read this bill. It sounded like they had to adopt this act, but that's not the case. The case is that if an HOA, if its board, wants to bring in some of the regulation or enforcement or structure, as a better word, the structure from the Homeownership Act, they can do that with this bill in place. They can then adopt in different rules.
But it's still their doing.
Still their choice.
It's not related to state enforcement.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. It allows them to basically redesign their bylaws and incorporate some of the benefits from this Delaware Uniform Common Interest Ownership Act. That bill has been released from committee, and I'm expecting to see it on the floor sometime soon. House Bill 74 is one that simply requires utility providers to give notice to park owners and to condominium associations if they're going to turn off a utility for lack of payment. There's been some controversy over the years where a water or electric provider would turn off their service without any notice just because there was a delinquent bill. So this bill requires them to give everybody notice. Now, Senate Bill 54 is the one you were talking
about. How much notice you got to give?
3 days.
72 hours.
Okay.
3 days.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Senate Bill 54 is the one you were referring to earlier today when Tim Dukes was here. That is the bill that was introduced in the Senate, and this bill is designed to allow the Director of Delaware Economic Development to create right-to-work zones as part of his inducement to bring new businesses to Delaware. And it also affords those new businesses a 5-year relief on gross receipts tax. That's the bill that stalled in committee last Wednesday, okay? This bill is a statewide bill. This bill is, it would empower the Director of Economic Development to set up these right-to-work
from
zones.
From where, the county?
Dover. Anywhere.
Dover.
But the director
right.
is
correct.
Not ours, but the state's director
correct.
Of Economic
Development. Correct. And the bill we were talking about earlier, which I'm going to get to in a minute,
right.
is just about allowing local governments such as ours okay. to mm-hmm. establish right-to-work zones in your jurisdiction only, okay, not a statewide
yes.
movement. That bill was, this bill 54 was discussed in the Senate committee, and I have spoken with the chairman of the committee, and it doesn't look like the bill is going to move anytime soon. I can tell you from experience, I've seen the right-to-work legislation on this scale have the same fate 10, 20 years ago in the Delaware General Assembly. As a statewide movement, it hasn't gotten much traction ever that I've seen. Okay. Now, House Bill 79 is still sort of laying dormant. This is the bill about if you catch a striped bass, you have to have it tagged by a commercial fisherman.
Oh.
Now, yeah, it's just, that bill isn't going anywhere. House Bill 86 is an interesting bill because this bill would allow counties and municipalities to elect not to be subject to the state's Public Employment Relations Act. Now that is a little bit different than anything we've seen in the recent past. The state Public Employment Relations Act, let me just read one little thing to you. In this act, this is from the state code, Title 19, Chapter 1303, public employee rights. A public employee is anyone who works for a government. Public employees shall have the right to organize, form, join, or assist any employee organization except to the extent that such rights may be affected by a collective bargaining agreement requiring the payment of a service fee as a condition of employment. This is the issue that we were talking about earlier, only this is about public employees. This bill, House Bill 86, would allow jurisdictions to opt out from under that state law. If 86 were passed and signed by the governor, it would give this government and other local governments the opportunity to opt out from regulation under the state Public Employment Relations Act. So that's a little bit different, but that's how that one works, 86. That bill is also in the Labor Committee, similar to House Bill 87. Now, House Bill 87, the one that Mr. Dukes just spoke to us about, this bill allows municipalities and counties to create a right-to-work zone. Now, our representative Dukes would like to know whether we support this or not. Obviously, if there's going to be some hope for him to move this bill forward and it to become law, which would give you these rights, he needs to be able to say that his home county supports it.
Yep. Mr. President, may I?
Yes, sir.
I would like to so move a motion to support Representative Duke's HB 80 Seven. I would like to present that before the council today.
Motion, Mr. Arlett.
I'll second that, but I'd like to also...
Second, Mr. Cole. Questions on the motion?
Yes. I think part of this also ought to be the SB 54, which is having problems. And you alluded to statewide legislation like this has had problems elsewhere.
Right.
It also puts all the decision-making in the in Dover at the Director of Development, Economic Development, at the state level. And I've always felt that local government has a better feel of what the local needs are. And I would say that we even go further and we oppose SB 54 and we support wholeheartedly the HB 86 because, again, I think county councils have a better understanding of local needs, the economic environment that exists in our county than they would in Dover. So it just keeps the decision-making closer to home. And people have input and stuff. They can come here instead of having to go to Dover to make their concerns heard. So anyway,
Let's deal with this motion.
Okay,
make a motion, I thought
okay,
we'd do that,
that'd
too.
Okay, that'd be fine.
I'm sorry.
No, that's all my
if
two
we're
cents.
Do that,
question, Mrs. Deaver.
I would like it in writing who voted for it and who did not.
Well, it'd be in writing.
All of our votes are in writing.
Okay, all right. I want it made public, though. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you can tell all you want.
All of our votes are public.
Isn't there a way to present the resolution and count the votes and that would be outside of the minutes as well?
Joan, that's why we had the newspaper people here. It's public and it's on recording.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to be heard since I'm on the minority. I want to make sure I'm heard.
Yes, ma'am. I'm sure you will be. Any more questions? We will take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
No, it goes after the wrong people, the workers, and just it's a wrong idea. And you know, I keep seeing Scott Walker, and I can't go for it.
Mr. Cole.
As I just a moment ago mentioned, I think making local decisions at the local level are more effective than they are when they're done at a distance. And the distance could be Dover or could be Washington, D.C. So I would rather see this county debate the issue of whether this county should be a right-to-work county. And I think we ought to have that debate here in this room and do something for our own destiny as opposed to being at the mercy of the state and federal government sometimes on these issues. So my vote would be yes.
Mr. Arlett.
I, too, will absolutely support anything that puts the power back with the people, very simply, and right where it needs to be, to the residents of Sussex County. And nowhere else should it be. It should be placed right where it needs to be. That is with the individuals back at home that have a desire to provide for their families. So I will 100% support and by saying yes.
Mr. Wilson.
I vote yes. And actually, why is the people from this state moving south where there is right to work? We've lost, actually, according to my information I have here, we've lost over 23,000 manufacturing jobs. Good paying jobs because unions won't allow other companies to come in and have to pay a certain amount of wage. I have nothing against unions. I belong to Teamsters. I belong to UAW. I can tell you about a half dozen unions I belong to in my life. But when unions have no regard to whether you make money or lose money, and if whether the company shuts down or works, we've gone too far with it. So I vote yes.
Thank you. I also will vote yes. I think it does give the employee the ability to decide if they want to be a union member or not.
Mm-hmm.
And also, this bill does allow the county to create right-to-work zones. Does not require the whole county would have to be one. We could pick certain areas to be when we wanted to. So I think it's a good idea. I'll vote yes. Motion carried. Now, Mr. Cole, you want to deal with Senate Bill 54?
Yeah, I would just think and there's no sense in supporting them both. And I believe the one at the Senate bill will take some of the influence that we would have and our knowledge of local needs and concerns away from us. So I think that the right to work laws have proven to be successful. It's another tool you can use. It can be in a way to attract businesses and especially manufacturing work here. So I would just say that we have Mr. Godwin go to Dover and lobby or take a position that Sussex County does not support House Bill 54 for the reasons that we would rather see the HB bill because of the local influence, local control, local input and all that stuff. So
I think you're up there and testifying the other way.
Mrs. Niebuhr, I'm sorry.
Like, I'm likely to go up to Dover and testify the other way.
On Senate Bill 54. Okay.
You know what I'm
supporting it.
Yeah, okay.
You want to support House?
To support it. Yeah, that's fine. You want to support?
I don't support right to work.
Oh, you don't support it? Okay. You want them to lobby against it?
Exactly.
Okay. Both of them then.
Okay. Any more comments from council?
I could, right. But I shall not.
Oh, will you? Yeah.
But thank you for the opportunity.
So anyway, my motion would be that the county's majority position would be to oppose HB 54. SB 54.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second, Mr. Arlen. Any questions on that motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
If I remember what the motion is.
The motion is to oppose Senate Bill 54.
We are going to oppose 54. And that is a right to work.
That is a
statewide.
Yeah, it's on your.
Yeah, that's statewide. Okay. Right. No.
Support it. I'll vote yes to oppose.
Charlotte.
I too shall vote yes to oppose because the one individual shall not have the authority to make good losers and winners in any place of this state, and that's really what that does.
Jesus.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Get him.
I'll vote yes, motion carried. Mr. Gobin, continue on.
Yes, sir. Mr. President, I would like to bring your attention back to House Bill 86. It's likely to be discussed in the Labor Committee this Thursday with House Bill 87. I've spoken with the committee chair this morning, inviting me to the Labor Committee's hearing Thursday at 1:30, and he indicated they will probably discuss both bills together, HB 86, HB 87. Mm-hmm. You've given me clear direction on 87. 86 is the bill that relates to the State's Employment Relations Act. This bill, if it were passed, would allow local governments to choose whether or not for their employees to be covered by this state code. If you don't want to give me an opinion, I'll just keep quiet in the hearing. But if you wanted to weigh in on that one, that would be the time.
Anyone have any comments?
I don't know if I quite understand that one. But well, you're just saying that right now our employees are required?
Our employees are covered by the state's Public Employment Relations Act, which is part of state code, and it gives them certain rights to organize.
I would rather have Todd get our, HR people or something to give us some direction, because I don't know if we have the ability to understand it fully to take a position. At least I don't. I don't know about the rest
I'll
of it.
I'll represent your opinion on.
Well, they have a right to organize.
Mrs. Deaver?
They have a right to organize.
Yes.
I mean, this would take it away.
This would give you the option to take us as an employer out of that state code.
Us out of that.
Out of that protection. Right. Okay, moving
denying
on.
Denying them their rights?
So don't get people into
excuse me?
Denying them their rights?
No, it certainly doesn't deny them rights. It simply allows the governing body to opt out of this protection under state law to allow your employees to organize.
I hear
when
you.
Our employees are not organized at this point. Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Moving through my report, I'll skip over a couple. I want to bring you down to Senate Bill 26 on the last page of my report, next to the last page. This bill provides for recording and maintaining a record of all deliberations made by public bodies during public hearings, including all discussions made, quote, off the record. So if somebody says to you, off the record, I don't think you should, they can't leave that out of the minutes anymore. This law says they have to be included. I thought they had to be included anyway. But this new law would insist that off-the-record comments.
I don't think we had any discussions off-the-record. I mean, that's the public discussions.
Public.
Yeah, sure.
Right.
For instance, where would that be? What does that apply to greatly?
I don't know. Maybe if you're having a land use hearing and one of the neighbors jumps up and says, well, off the record, well, that's got to go in.
We have no way to.
Well, many times,
testimony.
Yeah, many times reporters come up to you and they say off the record, and you know whatever. But we're not talking about those kind of conversations.
Uh-huh. We're talking about in a public hearing.
No, in a public hearing, only in a public. Right. Okay.
No words could be exempt from the recording.
Right. And ours are not. It's all recorded. It's all made public. Right.
Mm-hmm. The last bill that I want to discuss with you is a relatively new bill. Senate Bill 66, this act would allow Delaware jurisdictions with a long-term residential vacancy rate above 3%, including a county, to form a land bank, where such jurisdiction determines that a land bank would help to address the problem of vacant and abandoned real property within its jurisdiction. I'm not going to read the whole synopsis to you, it's pretty long, but this bill, if it were enacted into law, would give you the authority to set up a land bank to deal with abandoned or vacant properties. And what that means, I believe, is if you have a property that's been empty for years, no one's paid any taxes, we can't find any owners, you could take the property to sheriff's sale through this new law and buy it from whoever the heir was by title. And then you could recondition the property or sell it as it is to someone else and put it back on the productive rolls. So this law would allow you to consume internally abandoned vacant properties. Usually those properties would be identified on our lists as tax delinquent. However, I've checked with some of our folks and I haven't gotten an answer yet that we have we have confidence to say whether our vacancy rate is 3% or not. This law would require you to have more than a 3% vacancy rate. I don't know if...
Well, the question would be, does this bill require us to create a land bank?
No.
No, we have the option to.
Yeah, the option.
Okay.
I thought we already had a way to dispose of broken down and useless old buildings.
Very difficult.
Yeah, and they usually go to sheriff's sale. This will give us the opportunity to buy.
This is more than buildings. This is land.
Okay, now, what about that 15
acres? Mrs. Deaver?
Yeah, 15 acres in Millsboro where some folks, some estate folks... I don't think they were aware they owned it. Now the guy's hunting on it. And how would that work out under these circumstances?
It's
abandoned. It's abandoned by the owners.
Right.
And, you know, how would this work?
I would guess it would be a candidate for your land bank if you had a land bank.
Okay.
As you read this bill, it's pretty lengthy. But as you read it, it would require the jurisdiction, the county or the city or whoever, to actually set up a land bank, which would be sort of a financial management instrument anyway, I would think, the way it's worded. You'd have to, say, put a few dollars in it so it could operate, have to have some staff, and then they would buy properties that were delinquent or abandoned from the original owner by deed, and, of course, it's the county's program, and then they could sell them to someone else or...
Whose bill is this?
The sponsor of this bill? That's a good question. I'm not sure...
That's okay. I'm just curious.
It seems harmless because we're not forced to do it. It might give us another tool in the future to do something. And I know it's very difficult to deem something vacant and go after it, even through the sheriff's sale. It takes years. And so I don't know how this.
Any more comments, Council?
Just gives us a building.
That's Wilson.
It's mostly sponsored by upstate folks. Yeah. Senator Townsend, Henry, Marshall, McDowell, Brian Short, Representative Johnson and Keeley, Blevins, they're all. We don't have any sponsors in this county on this bill.
Right. Mr. Wilson, a question.
How many years has to be abandoned? Has to be abandoned before they can.
5 years, I think.
Was it five?
Doesn't state here in the summary.
I'm not sure.
I see five down on five.
Well, a park owner can take a trailer.
That's something different. Yeah. That was another thing.
That's also real estate.
No, it's totally
I don't have that.
He owns the land. It's different.
Sometimes it's 5 years before you find out about something that you're even relative of.
Mr. President, may I ask a question?
Sure, Mr. Mr. Arlett.
Mr. Godwin, question on this would be, again, granted, this is at the state level, but it somewhat concerns me that that a county would have the opportunity. Did I hear you say correct, you know, a land bank? Whereas it could be funded, I don't know, number one, how it would be funded, number one. Number two, meaning from tax dollars or otherwise. It says nonprofit, but nonetheless, so that would be a question. Number two would be, did I hear you say that the government entity, i.e. Sussex County in this example, would actually legally take possession of the property? We could...
Your land bank would.
At our discretion, I would presume...
We'd have to work from our tax rolls to find the properties, to identify the properties.
So, governments, you know, they're wanting basically governments to get involved in the real estate business, is what I'm hearing.
And if you remember, I told you it was sponsored by Newcastle County representatives mostly. And they do have a very serious problem. I'm aware of that. They have a lot of properties in Newcastle County that are empty and abandoned. They can't figure out who owns them.
Right.
There's a title, a deed with a name on it, but they can't find the people. This would give them or any other jurisdiction the right to take control of that property and put it back in use.
But would that, would they still have to go through a sheriff's sale to acquire it? If they go to a sheriff's sale, the general public could buy it. I think the properties we're talking about, that it comes up at a sheriff's sale and nobody wants it. Then again, does the county want it? If the county doesn't want it, then it just sits there and it is becoming an eyesore. There's nobody taking control. I guess this gives you the ability to step in in those extreme cases. I don't see it being used very much. Again, it's harmless. We don't have to do it if we don't want to. But there may be some merit there for some of these properties that people complain about a lot in Sussex County that nobody wants.
I suspect in Newcastle County the impetus is either derelict industrial properties or polluted sites that no one wants to own.
That's right.
And this way the county can take it, clean it up, get it cleared by Denrick, and put it back on the market.
If we wanted to.
Right, exactly.
If we want it.
But if there's a lien that's out there, again, I don't want to get into this because we could talk about this for hours, and we won't do that. But I will tell you, if there's a lien on a property, as you, in your example, an industrial side, guarantee there's a bank involved. And if it goes through the foreclosure process, one can shorten that process. There's way mechanisms and things to do to shorten that process to get it through a share sale so that legally that bank takes it back. You know, at that point in time, that bank is held responsible and obligated to clean up. And so for a government agency, i.e. a nonprofit, I see public tax dollars being diverted to a quote-unquote nonprofit, whereas we're in the real estate business. And I got to tell you, that needs to be in the private sector, not in the public sector, in my opinion. And this could go down a very bad path, as I see it. So they ought to be focusing on mechanisms to shorten that process so it can get in the hands of those that are actually responsible. And I'll be done.
Are you saying the realtors would like to take
anymore,
it up?
Mrs. Deaver.
Did not say that.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Mike Costello. Discussion of code enforcement options as it relates to trash.